Good morning, listeners. It's good to have you on another exciting episode of Talk with the Duke. It's a pleasure to have you there again. It's been a while. We've had another interesting episode, and I'm excited that today we'll be talking on an intriguing topic. We'll be discussing empowering the next generation, gender equity, and youth participation in politics. Today I have with me my guest, Sheu Aruajoe. Together, we'll dive deep into this vital topic, and we'll see the importance of the young people, regardless of gender, and their need to have equal voice and opportunity to shape the political landscape. Join us as we explore this challenge, success, and potential solutions to achieving true gender equity and meaningful youth engagement in the realm of politics. Mr. Sheu, it's good to have you on this episode this morning.
Good morning. My name is Sheu Aruade, and I'm a Jesuit political advocate. I'm the coordinator for Go Vote in Ondo State.
Wow, it's good. It's good to have you once again. Without wasting time, let us dive in and see what we have today. Mr. Sheu, looking at the political landscape of Nigeria, looking at how things have been going, looking at how everyone has been participating, what would you say is the current state of the young people, regardless of gender, in our political atmosphere?
Yeah, I think we are making progress. We are going by the last general election, we are making progress. I think prior to 2018, before the not young to run bill was actually put in order, I think we have very low number of youths who are actually being involved in politics. But the 2023 general election actually brought to fore the awareness of our youths about what is going around us, the political landscape, and we saw how they came out massively to participate in that election. So I think we are making progress.
Yeah, that is true. I would agree that we are making progress. But this progress we are making, do you in any point see that it is actually giving results? How, when we say youth participating in politics, are they also getting hold of these political offices as well?
Yes. It has been affirmed by many organizations. Nigeria is one of the largest youth populations in the world, with a median age of, about 18.1 years. Yeah, I think 18.1 years. And about just exactly 70% of the country's populations are under 30. So in spite of this rich population, the nation's political space is still dominated by the old generation politicians. But I think we cannot displace this before if we are running back, because we feel the political landscape is not working for us. We have to move closer. We have to be actively involved in political party process. We have to join them. I think we have examples of people, young persons who are already there. And for example, we have women too. Women who are involved and they are doing well. So the major thing is coming together, unity. If the youths, the population under 30, 70% population we are talking about can come together and have one voice, like emphasis on one voice. You have one voice and you can say, okay, this is where we are going together. And we have reasons, we were able to convince others that this is where we are going. We can decide, we can do many things, we can move mountains.
Yeah, regardless of the fact that we can move or we are moving already, there seems to be barriers. There seems to be things that are holding the young people back, especially women. So what do you think are these major barriers that are holding young people, like I said, especially women, to engage actively in politics?
I think leadership starts from our various homes, families. We parents have a lot of things to do in the leadership process of the country. If you are raising your children, a female child should not be made to know that marriage is an achievement. marriage should not be an achievement. That's the first thing. A female child should be meant to know that she can also aspire to be the best. She can also aspire to lead the country in as much as she is capable of leading. Then the male child should be made to know that he must not leave the nourishment of his body to another gender, meaning that the male child must be taught how to cook, how to deal with many things, and their ego should not be made fragile, in the sense that the burden placed on the male child should be reduced, such that the ego will not be under the slightest provocation.
You know, if I understand it clearly, we will say that when we are talking about this gender equity in the political space, we should also take it across other aspects of life, if I understand it clearly.
Yes. We have in every aspect, even in companies, in industries, everything we have to do, like if you are placing anybody in a position of leadership across any sector, we have to consider capability before gender. We have to consider capability in the sense that if a female is the most capable, we have to give her the job, instead of saying, well, she's a female, she's not a female, and
we are all aware of the young, not too young to run bill, and how can you say it has successfully helped in participation of the young people and the women in our political system?
Yes, I will not say it has helped the women. I would say that it has helped the youth generally, in the sense that the age requirement has been brought down, and people who actually feel they are able enough to lead will not have to wait until they achieve that age. If they have the idea, the wherewithal to move forward, they have to start working immediately, not having to wait till they attain that particular age. So it is a progress. I think we are making progress, and the participation of youth in 2020 election is another progress. Then we are looking forward to subsequent elections where we see youths coming, even apart from coming out to contest. We want youths to raise their voice. Even apart from the election process, we want youths to participate in the governance process of the country, like sharing ideas on how the country can move forward, protesting against anti-people policies. And in fact, there are a lot of ways we just have to keep the engagement going, even when there is no election. So we have to keep our leaders on their toes. So I think the process should be continuous. We don't have to rest, because we have to wait to the next election cycle.
But are you sure that the voices of the youth are usually being heard? And how can they ensure that it has been heard? Do you think the voices of the youth is...
One of the examples is the NSAS report.
That was a confrontational process. We cannot address that in a political system.
You should understand that in a system, there are many ways you can make your voice heard. I cannot singularly say I have an opinion on an issue, and jointly youths with enormous numbers coming out to say they have an opinion, the numbers will be taken into context. You should understand that the NSAS protest was led by youths in person, and there was a very clear agenda. The agenda was the maltreatment of the citizens by the police. Yes. So it is one of those ways we can make our voice known. Civil disobedience and every other form of protest is allowed. It's constitutional, and it is one of those ways. If we feel a policy is repugnant to the people's will or the agenda of the people, we have to protest against it. There are other ways we can actually come about repealing such policies. We can actually go about it. But in the examples that I've already cited, the NSAS protest, it was a very clear process. and we have young persons leading that protest. And it was actually very successful because many of their yearnings were actually listened to. Committees were set up to listen to the issue of police brutalities. Remedies were awarded against people who actually violated the code of conduct of the police force and the like.
So, in your opinion, what would you say is the benefit of having a more diverse representative and political system? I mean, a system whereby we have both the young, the old, as well as the women together running the affairs of our system, whereby it is not being controlled by just a particular aspect, like just a particular group of people. Quite now, we can say it is being dominated by the older generation and the men as well. But if we make it make it more diverse, whereby everybody is involved, what do you think will stand to benefit and gain from this?
Well, I will start from the gender diversity, like having the mixture of everyone, irrespective of gender. I think Chimamanda Adichie has solved the puzzle when she said everyone should be feminist. Feminism, like she and many other reputable bodies have posited, feminism is actually not about supporting the female gender to take over from the men. It's actually about equity and justice. And I will summarize it in this simple sentence that whoever is capable, give him the job.
Give the job.
Or the job. Yes. Whoever is capable, give the job to that person. So it is actually the capability should be put first. If a man and a woman are contesting for a position, their capability should be checked. Will they deliver? Because every community have their yearnings. There are communities where we have deficiencies. There are communities where you don't have potable water, access to potable waters. Then we look at the capabilities of these people. These are our needs. Who among these persons will be able to deliver? Then we subject it to vote. So it should not be about women are this, women are that.
It's about who exactly fits to do the job.
It's not about want women to take over, so men in the ground sit down. You know, it should be about who is capable.
And also the participation process. Yes. Everybody should be carried along.
Then women,
only women cannot make it. Yes. Leader.
Yes.
Everybody has to be involved.
Yes, the women should know. They should understand that if a woman is capable, male and woman should support the woman. Then if it is a man that is more capable, then the women and the men should support that person. Then on youth participation and the mix of the other politicians, I think we will still talk about capability. If we have persons who are proving in the past that they can deliver, irrespective of the age, we understand that our young persons should come closer to the political circle to learn how the political process of the country is being run.
Yeah.
Should learn. Then young persons who are capable to lead should be allowed to take over. They should be allowed. Then in the process of election, age should not be considered. During the 2019 election, many of the presidential aspirants confirmed this, including President Tinubu, who confirmed it. Even article confirmed it that age should not be the consideration. The consideration should be who is capable of leading, who is capable of delivering a better Nigeria, who is capable of giving back to the people what they need. So I think in the process, generally, if you are talking about diversity, we want everyone to participate, we want a better Nigeria, we should actually consider
competence. So, and that was actually what is going to push our system to a better place. All right, listeners, it's been a pleasure for this quarter hour. You've been listening to Mr. Shion Aruajoye as we discuss empowering the next generation, gender equity, and youth participation in politics. We'll be going a short break. We'll come back. We'll continue. Oh.
slowly add it up. Money on my mind.
Money.
Don't care what they yarning about me in particular.
Call me.
Out here on the road chasing my dream because I know.
Chasing for me.
Oh la la la, the man but my love. But I got the edition, my love. If you want to let Jack come alone, to find anybody, no money I want.
I want all the year with the people they love.
Want to get a shakeleti love. See love when I want to get another one. I go take and do it in a love. Waiting you love, oh.
Love you waiting, I love, oh.
Listeners, it's good to know you are still there on your favorite podcast, Talk with the Duke. We are always here to give you intriguing topics and bring guests that have insights on these areas. So, Mr. Shew, how can we address gender disparities and biases that exist within the political parties and structures to promote greater gender equity in politics? How can these parties know? How can they come to a realization that they should make it a matter of competence, just like you said, and not a matter of gender? You know, usually we have situations where even when the women are more capable, they all tend to go towards the men. How do they ensure that it should be a level playing ground for these persons?
Like I have said, I think even apart from the young persons, I think I have said family has a lot of role to play here. The issue, the situation whereby you have to reduce the nomination, the price of nomination fund for women, is actually a pointer to the fact that we've raised our women to be less. We've raised them to just be housewives who do not have enough resources to actually condemn.
Are you condemning the fact that, or are you disagreeing with the opinion that women should have a lesser nomination fee compared to men?
No, I'm saying our country has warranted that women should have should be made to contest using a price of nomination.
Don't you feel like it is actually a measure that has been put in place to encourage their participation?
Yes, encourage them in Nigeria. Whereas it is actually a pointer to the fact
that there's a lot of
our criteria that have the background,
there's a problem somewhere
from the family. If you are raising a woman to actually grow up, graduate from school, and the next thing on her mind should be marriage. Whereas a man, we have to pursue his career, make millions, make billions. And a woman who is brighter than the man, you have to be made to sit down in the kitchen cooking. We must encourage our parents to raise their children such that, irrespective of gender, they can pull through, they can actually challenge each other, you know, they can actually make their way up to the top. So I think the foundational problem
is supposed to be addressed
from the family.
What do you recommend in this kind of case?
We have women and men raised equally. Men can cook, women can cook. Men should see marriage as an achievement. Women should see marriage as an achievement. There's no
bias.
Yes, in the issue. Then I think we have somewhere to start from. Then on the issue of maybe nomination form or no nomination form. Then when you have numbers of women who are rich. And the number of men
developing in their area
as well as to do, then you will see that, come on, we have women who are capable of contesting without even reducing the number of price of nomination forms.
that one, it is a pointer. Then when we get to that stage where men and women can contest without reducing the price of nominal funds for women, then we will know we have imbalanced society.
It means that we are actually doing very well.
So, but for now, due to the question,
we cannot get back. We cannot be on that stand.
Yes, but back to the question. The question was,
how do we address this issue of gender biasness and disparities that exist within political parties?
Then now that we have women that are working within political parties, the major role women plays. Because I've been there, I've seen how it is done, I've been to world meetings, and when you go to world meetings, you see more women than men. Yes, and you will see that the role women play in these political parties are just to share the men to take over positions. They do not have the capacity to muscle with the women to take over positions. Even when you look at the composition of what is good, apart from what, at least, I think the governor of Ondo State actually made some changes to the composition of the last executives of the party, that each ward should have at least 5 women. I think it's a pointer that we still have to work.
But there's always this fixed office for women, you know, woman.
Yes, it is fixed. But it should be noted.
Is that not supposed to be like men leaders?
Yes. So we should look at these things, that these are problems. A woman, you can hardly see a woman contesting for the position of youth leader.
You would prefer to go for a woman leader.
You can actually see a woman contesting for the position of a party chairman. You can hardly see a woman contesting for secretary. They will go for that woman leader. They are contented because they feel it is within themselves. They do not have the capacity to contest that with the men. So I think we have to start from the foundation. We have to raise our women to be more like,
to be competitive as well.
Yes, like the first lady of Ondo State would say, we have to raise our women to be more, to know that they can be the best among peers, irrespective of gender or race. So I think addressing it should be foundational. We have to start from the scratch. The family, the smallest unit of leadership.
What would you say about the issue of Adamawa State election, where this woman, Binani, almost got the mandate of being the first elected governor of the state? Is it a point that women are actually being, would you say political parties are actually doing very well in the country as of now?
Yeah, it is, and like I've said, it's not about the woman. It's not about gender. It's about who is contesting. I think Binani pulled, he proved that she was ready. She contested with men during the primaries. She got the ticket. She contested with a man and forced the man to run. So it is a pointer that women should actually come up in other states and see that this thing is possible. And parents, like I said, they have responsibilities to raise their women. That my girl is going to be the governor for those
things. And let us now look at the role of mentorship, because from what you just mentioned, parents can also serve as mentors to ensure that this gender situation do not continue the way it is. So what role do mentorship programs and leadership development play in empowering young individuals as well as
Yes, I think there are many efforts in Nigeria to ensure that women are made to see reasons why they are also capable of leading.
As well as young individuals.
Yes, just that. So, but I think the efforts should be made to teach parents and intending parents that you don't have to train your grandchild that when you grow, you must become a good housewife to your husband. You must take care of your children. You must raise your children to be this, to be that. Meanwhile, you raise your male child and say you have to be a man. You have to be strong to become the governor of those states. You can be president. You can be the chief of army staff. You can be this. You can be that. So I think efforts should be made to orientate the parents and the intending parents on raising their children to understand that the leadership of the country has gotten to a stage where we cannot leave it to the hand of a particular agenda.
And how would you, what strategies and policies would you suggest to prepare young people and the women as well? You are not of the opinion that they should have lesser nomination forms, or they should have more consideration, because if everybody should have a level playing ground. But what policy do you think will be best to actually bring this level playing ground?
I think, and like I said, the reduction of nomination form is just a temporary solution to what should be a temporary problem. It's a temporary solution because we feel our women have been pushed back away from governance in Nigeria. We have to reduce the funds for them to come in. For now, it's a temporary solution to a temporary problem. Like, we should find a permanent solution where women are more, women are big, women can contest, women can pull weight during elections. They can contest with men during elections without reducing funds for them. I think that's the major thing here. We have to build from the family. We have to build women. Parents have to raise women. They have to raise men such that they are both capable of making their ways to the top, not reducing funds for them or this. Then, on the issue of
The question is, what policies would ensure that we have this level playing ground and we have a permanent solution to it?
The government must make sure NOA starts working, the National Orientation Agency, because I don't think they are working at all. Then they should, if they start working, they have to get to the grassroots, educating parents, educating children, educating men, that it is not compulsory you put all this burden on yourself. Bodies will make sure the ego comes right there. You have to see a woman as partners, your homes, to build your home together, to contribute to the sources of your home, so that you feel less bodied. Then government should come in the process of seeing women as kitchen materials, kitchen properties. Innovation oriented women should not be kissing properties. They should be made partners in the progress, in governance in Nigeria. So it should be a joint task. It should be a joint task instead of making it a men affair. Like, I'm not saying men should not lead. I'm saying one gender affair. It should not be about women leading the country. It should not be about men leading the country. You have to look for those who are capable of making Nigeria work.
All right. Looking at the just concluded general elections, 2023 elections, you will notice that a lot of Nigerians were more interested in the process of the election, and they got themselves educated enough to know how things are done. For example, I remember during the time of when the presidential aspirants were to pick people for presidential aspirants, a lot of us had placeholders. And so many youth said, wow, this is the first time I'm hearing place, and this is something that has been happening over and over time. So it means that they got closer to want to know what is happening, and they were educated. So what role would you say education play in preparing the young people for political engagement? And how can we improve our civic education to better equip more participation?
I think education should not end in school. Like, going to school is from being educated. We have school illiterates, let me say, who are more conversant of our political space than people who have PhDs, who are professors. Because politics is a reality. The reality, you have to understand that you need to engage people. If you want to contest some positions, if you want to understand how the system works, you need to engage the people, know what they need, know their problems, know why people take 5,000 naira, 2,000 naira, 3,000 naira during elections. You need to know why.
if you don't know the problem, you cannot know the solution to it. You cannot keep saying, why are these people collecting money? They are stupid. You need to know why. You need to know where the problem is coming from. Then we can together perform a solution. Then on the issue of getting educated, I think they need to get political parties, become political party members, get to know how the party works, participate in the party activities. Then when we have more educated persons in the party structure, then I think at the grassroots, especially at the grassroots, we do not have more educated persons at the grassroots. We leave it to farmers, to motorcyclists, to NURTW members, because we felt politics is a dirty game. Educated persons should not be involved. So at this rate, if you can see more persons who are school graduates, because education, politics has its own branch of education. You have to know how it works. You have to know how you engage people. You have to know what they want. You have to know how you deal with them. How you have a variety of people. We have people. So you just have to know how to deal with them. So it is another education on its own. So you have to get it. So if you want to be involved in politics, you get the political education. It is not even about going to school to learn about political science or being, yes. Politics has its own education on its own that you have to get. You have to get it. So I think if we have much more persons who are willing to change the situation of the country, if we have more of them in the political space and they get the knowledge of how the politics of Nigeria works, then we have a way forward.
Okay. So, Mr. Shell, to conclude our discussion this time, what steps and measures can individuals, communities, government, parastatals, whatever organization we belong to, take to create a more inclusive and supportive environment for young people, irrespective of their gender, to engage in the political process?
I think one of the most important tool of getting feedbacks by government is the media. Currently, across boards, the media should not be made to feel policed by the government. Like when you, a young person or any other citizen, make their opinion known on a policy and then you start harassing them with security, putting them behind bars, taking them to court because they've opposed a particular government.
So you are saying free speech?
Yes. The freedom of press, the freedom of expression should be made to be much more available to young persons. Through this process, you can have people who will freely give opinions to government on where to go, on policies, formulation. Then the National Assembly too should define ways such that, because they are the lawmakers, they should define ways whereby any law they are making should have, I think they have the process on ground already, but they should make it more open such that citizens and young persons participate in the process of lawmaking too. So such that government will define the way they formulate their policies in a way that's going to be suitable for the people to live comfortably.
We understand that the National Assembly has a couple of young people and the women. Do you think they are creating opportunities for people like them to also be in that kind of chamber, in that kind of position?
I think we the last 2020 election was not so good. I think we have about 3 in the Senate, we have about 17 in the House of Reps, which is not a good number.
It's like a decline for women. I think it's a decline, yes, from what we had in 2019.
Yeah, which is not a good number, but I think we still have to emphasize on capability. And if the people have voted any person, irrespective of the gender, we have to accept that. So I think we still have to go back to our first
the initial agreement that the problem starts with the family. So we have to start raising women. We have to start raising women who are capable of muscling it out with men, who are capable of leading. We do not have to raise our women to see marriage as an achievement or getting a man as an achievement. They have to also make their own. They have to also be the best they can be.
Okay, it's good to have you, Mr. Sheo. We've had an exciting session together. And to our listeners, this episode has been, I know it has been quite inspiring for you as we explore the vital topic of gender equity and youth participation in politics. We discuss the barrier young people face and the importance of breaking them down for more inclusive system. We emphasize the success story, we emphasize the need for gender equity, and discuss strategies to empower young leaders. We know that it is a saying that youth are the leaders of tomorrow, but we can start from today because the future of our political system lies in the hands of the next generation. And by supporting inclusiveness and amplifying their voices, they can create a more just and equitable world. Thank you all for listening, and I would advise that you stay tuned for more inspiring episodes coming our ways on important society issues. Thank you. I still remain your humble host, The Duke.